This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
We're shipping Father's Day gifts with a rapid-fire round of questions. Ready?
Yes. My gift. Can you pack it?
Yep.
Ship it?
Yes.
Guarantee it?
Of course.
Oh, send a set of golf clubs.
Oh, hole in one.
Protect electronics? Dog-proof it? Return it if they hate it?
Yes, no, and yeah.
Are you the UPS store?
Hey, we have a winner!
Visit the upsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Visit a store today.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Box Trek. I'm your host, Matt Brady. Joining me, as always, is Thomas the Motas Davis. Thomas, how are you doing today?
Doing fine. How about yourself?
I'm good. All right. Thomas and I are going to do our... It's a little late, but we've had a lot of time to do it. And that is our Destiny 2 review. And
I would say we're not a little late because the PC one just hit.
The PC one did just hit. And
PC version did hit.
Touch more on the PC version, but sure. With a game like Destiny, you kind of actually really need to wait and see everything that kind of happens and comes out to really gauge it. I also think that this isn't really a typical review. I think you kind of have to approach this from three different viewpoints. One, the game kind of as its own. Two, I think it's fair to say let's compare vanilla Destiny against vanilla Destiny 2. And then kind of see where did Destiny 1 end and where did Destiny 2 begin and kind of compare those. So I guess, Thomas, maybe we should go ahead and start. Should we start with a story?
Let's go ahead and start with the stories.
So we're going to be in major spoiler territory here if you haven't played the game yet. But considering that Destiny 2 is already the best-selling game of this year, chances are you probably have.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll say it right now. It's worth playing.
It is.
There are plenty of... I have issues with the game in many respects, but the gameplay itself is absolutely solid.
Yep, it's good.
As for the story,
well, I'll say this. It's certainly better than the Destiny 1 story. Okay, that's fine.
Let's give a quick overview. Essentially, the story takes place after the Cabal force attacks the city directly in the hopes of stealing the Traveler and its power for themselves. Essentially, the story is your guardian going through regaining his light and leading the offensive against the Red Legion, the name of the Cabal that invaded and captured the Traveler, led by their leader, Gaul. And the story is... So compared to Destiny 1's story, which was more kind of like, hey, you wake up in this situation, you have no memories, you have this weird robotic companion called a ghost that is now...
Peter Dinklage, and now is not.
Yes. Not really story related, but yes. but he's leading you through, and you kind of get introduced to the different factions fighting over your world. You have the Fallen, the Cabal, the Vex, the Hive, and then you have the Guardians. They're made up by the Awoken, the Exo, and the humans that have been resurrected by ghosts. And that one felt more like it was like, hey, you're kind of getting awake in this world. Here's a bunch of story threads that we're then going to build on, which never played out.
Right.
And they did a really good job of kind of leading you through the world, introducing the different factions, building the story into the world, and kind of giving you a lot to go with and lore wise. Whereas Destiny 2, it's a competent storyline. Like it has follow through. It has a beginning, a middle, an end. I would say this feels more like a key. I would say it feels like an expanded storyline. Give me a second here to put this, my thoughts in the words here. Okay. So the final expansion for Destiny 1 was Rise of Iron, and it didn't feel complete.
Right.
It felt really, really rushed through. It felt like a potentially interesting story that wasn't told properly.
I think it was like 8 missions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not even that.
Right.
But Destiny 2 feels like a competent storyline told completely.
Right.
Like, it's not super interesting, and it doesn't go any unusual places. It's really safe and kind of dull and makes it all the way through without incident.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it works as a good story, as a functional storyline. It has its moments, but it felt like there was a lot of things they could have done with it, a lot of places they could have explored, and a lot of like storylines they could have had flowing off of that never played out.
Right.
Like the idea that everybody was thinking of when we first heard this, like, oh, Gaul's going to capture the Traveler and we're going to lose our light and we got to regain it. Maybe this will explain more about like what the Traveler is, or the interactions between Guardians and the Traveler, or like what is the light. None of that actually plays out. Not a fucking thing.
Nope.
It is like every question you had going into Destiny 2 was not fucking answered. Every question you had at the end of Destiny 1 remains unanswered.
Yeah, I'll actually go ahead and say, in terms of, I think the difference for me is that it's of the expansions and of every story that we've gotten, this one is certainly told the best in that, like, it's not like Destiny 1 was like, you know,
really I disagree.
All over the place, and I was like, wait, you're going here and you're going here. Oh, well, let's add this. And I said, and it kind of depends on when you started Destiny 1. Because for me, it was like, okay, well, I started around House of Wolves. So it was like, okay, wait, I'm doing these missions. Well, no, you got to go do these ones and these. And like, it just didn't, you know, they changed it, I think, when, was it maybe when Orcs or Taken King came out? And then they were like, well, let's kind of put them in like their own threads and you like the missions.
Yes.
And so, like, we're going to streamline these quest lines, I guess, if you want to call it.
Taken King was just a massive expansion, whereas House of Wool and The Dark Below were more of like there were smaller little like story sets.
Yeah,
that also had a radio
even package. Still, they were all. I thought House of Wolves was pretty sweet, like just the story itself. I don't think Destiny 2's story, like in terms of plot, is super great. I just think, obviously, the way it's presented is a little bit better just because there's more cutscenes, which like didn't exist.
That's just it. Like I said, it's a competent storyline told completely.
Yeah.
Like it's not the most interesting, but it makes it there.
Yeah.
Whereas Destiny 1, the best storyline in Destiny 1 was, without a doubt, the Taken King.
Yeah.
That was a complete storyline that had a bunch of stuff, kind of like questions raised in the beginning that get answered as you go through, with some major exceptions, of course, which it always felt like, oh, we're going to get back to that, and then that never played out. But then again, Destiny 1, shit doesn't play out.
I mean, like, we still have yet to see the Stranger again.
I know we talked about it a little bit in our Destiny 1 retrospective, but like, that is, if you could say anything, you could walk away with anything from Destiny 1, it would be that storyline is never getting finished.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, probably.
And like, it's really, and I feel like part of the reason why that was much more excusable in Destiny 1 is because of something that Destiny 1 had that Destiny 2 doesn't have, and I think is worse for it. That being the Grimoire.
Yeah.
So essentially, to be honest, Destiny 1 implemented Grimoire terribly. So what the Grimoire was essentially a series of cards that as you played through and scanned stuff or collected different exotic weapons or killed so many enemies, it would unlock these Grimoire cards. And these cards would give you a bit of backstory on the world or explain some stuff.
A lot of
a little story. Like, there was a ton.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of little stories, little tidbits, explanations of like various entities. Like, the Vex aren't combat models. They're all general purpose. Their weapons are actually tools used for communication.
Right.
It's just that happen to also be able to use them as weapons. And it's like, oh, that's really interesting. But in order to view any of this stuff, you had to go through the app. For some reason.
Or go to like their website, go to the Bungie website.
Or go to the Bungie website, which was completely just like, you had to go looking for all this really neat story stuff.
Yeah.
And
that just seems
an
enormous oversight. Like, how can you not just access that? Like,
well, they decided that because the biggest complaint was Grimoire, nobody cares about Grimoire, is mostly because it was hidden. It was actually really interesting stuff, and everybody who is into the lore,
oh, it's sweet.
Liked the stories it's they told.
Really cool, yeah, they're really cool little stories. Yeah.
Instead of saying like, I don't know, oh, well, let's go ahead and add a Grimoire section to the story, like we can, or to the UI, or like add a little menu options, like explore the universe, blah blah blah, and get some fancy UI elements in there. They decided to just rip Grimoire completely out. And I can understand why they did it, and I think they're fucking idiots. What they replaced it with is, so in Taken King, they added the ability for the ghost to scan little bits of the world and give you some information back. Be like, oh, hey, that's weird. This thing is currently, you know, transmitting this signal. Wa-da-da. And it'd give you a little blurb about it, and it was like, okay, that's kind of cool. It was used fairly sparingly throughout Destiny 1, which was a shame. And they did the right thing by including a lot more of that, except that's all you get. And frankly, at plenty of times, that's just not really enough. Like, yeah. There are plenty of stuff you could scan for extra story in Destiny 2 that gives you like just the hint of an interesting thread that you could follow up on, and there's no way to follow up on it. Like, yeah. On Titan, there's a console where you scan it and your ghost is like, huh, that's weird. Apparently this place was trading with a colony called Hyperion. That's, wow, that's really far out there. And you're just like, fucking explain it.
Yep.
What do you mean? How are we talking outside the solar system? Did we actually leave? I mean, we're already pretty far out here. How much further is there? It's right on the edge of having that kind of living world backstory without actually taking the time to build it.
Mm-hmm. To me, it seems like, and this is kind of Destiny in a nutshell, it seems like there's a lot of people that come up with a bunch of really cool ideas, and everyone's like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll add that. And then they've realized, oh, hey, yeah, we're not actually going to like finish all these ideas, but they're kind of here.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that does sound like Destiny 1.
Yep.
Destiny 2 kind of feels like a little more story-wise, feels more like a reaction to that, where it's like, oh, we need stability. We need to make sure we're crossing all our T's and dotting all of our I's. And on one hand, that's fine. On the other hand, cool, that's not enough.
Yep.
I mean, it doesn't, I like, it doesn't help that Destiny 1 had all that drama over their lead writer and leaving because the story was apparently too much like Halo, thanks Alpha players.
Yeah.
Or QA players to or whoever the fuck was me, putting in that complaint.
Say, though, it doesn't really feel like Halo to me.
I mean, I guess I
can see it if people are like talking about it, but like,
when
I sat down to play Borderlands for the first time, I was like, oh, this is like gameplay wise. I was like, oh, this is like Halo meets Call of Duty. Like, and then like ever since then, that's been like how a lot of games have done it. Cause Halo was always, okay, you could recharge your shields, and Call of Duty was always like, you just died. Right. But yeah. Then like Halo was always, okay, to zoom in, you got to like tap the stick. Whereas Call of Duty was like, okay, you can like pull the trigger and aim down the sights, and Borderlands kind of like mixed that. And so like, to me, Halo or Destiny was always, is like, oh, this feels a lot like Borderlands.
I would say Destiny just feels like an updated version of Halo with superpowers. Honestly what it feels like to me. And that's because
in Borderlands, you get like everybody has their own special abilities.
Yeah, but frankly, Borderlands as a control scheme felt really bad to me.
Oh, really?
It felt... it didn't feel fluid.
Yeah.
It felt like it was Fallout 4. It was an RPG masquerading as a first-person shooter.
Yeah.
Destiny 2 and Destiny feel exactly what I want out of like a game with Halo's pedigree. It feels like Halo with more sensible controls.
Yeah. Okay. So
I guess since we're moving into controls, let's just go in that direction.
Yeah. Let's go into gameplay. So
Destiny 2 is the ideal. There's some major issues, but for the most part, it's the ideal continuation of Destiny 1.
Yeah,
they don't fuck with what works,
mm-hmm.
and they add things that make sense.
Yeah, and I will say this. The biggest change I've felt is that Destiny 1, so when you pop into Crucible, right? Say I get 20 kills, and again, this changed over time depending on what the meta was, but let's just throw an average out there of 20 kills. All right, if I got 20 kills in a game of Crucible, maybe 5 of those were from a gun. And then I'd get, you know, maybe 4 or 5 from a super, and then, you know, like another 4 or 5 from grenades and like your melee ability, whatever that was. So yeah. You were never really getting that much like actual gunplay kills. And that is the biggest thing I've felt is different in Destiny 2, whereas because they've toned down the abilities and supers, it's much more about gun types, which I like a lot.
So, I mean, my experience with Crucible is it feels like abilities were downplayed, not necessarily supers. In fact, I would say if anything...
Yep, I get where you're going.
I would say if anything, supers got a bit of a buff.
Yeah.
It's just that with only 4 people, you don't see somebody wiping up out a team of 6 because there's no such thing anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I see what you're going with there. Yeah, yeah, that's probably true because like you get like now with Golden Gun, you can get like 6 shots.
Yeah, so, you get 6 shots, but you can only shoot 4 people, right? So at the same time, it doesn't feel like you're getting as many kills with it, but you're still wiping out an entire team. Yeah. Supers are still absolutely devastating.
Oh, for sure.
Abilities are very much the opposite.
Yeah.
Like which
I'm fine with.
Yeah, that's fine. But like, it's kind of disappointing when coming from Destiny 1, where you're like, you're sticking somebody with a grenade and it only blows through like their shields and a quarter of their health.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, I expected that to actually kill a man. Whoops.
Yeah.
Now I'm dead. Because that was my last-ditch Hail Mary against the dude chasing me with a shotgun. That being said, shotguns and sniper rifles now are considered power weapons. So yeah, what that means is that they're the third tier of weapon.
Which tiers have been changed from 100% fine with. I actually really like the weapon system now, where you just have the power weapons, and then you have
kinetic, you have energy, and then you have power weapons. Kinetic and energy are your auto rifles, pulse rifles, scout rifles, sidearms, hand cannons, and the new submachine gun class, which is great or terrible depending on what range you're at. If you're at medium or long range, it's terrible. If you're at short or medium range, it's amazing. That aside, like, those are, they can, you can show, those can show up either kinetic, which is your, you know, primary weapon, you get the primary white ammo for it, it doesn't do any element damage, it just does regular damage, mm-hmm. or as a energy weapon, which, you know, you get your green boxes for, that does elemental damage, it'll just blow up enemy NPC shields, or I guess PvE shields, if you match the colors, makes everything all wonderful and great. And then you get your power weapons, which are your purples, and those are your rocket launchers, your grenade launchers, which is an amazing type of weapon that they added, and I love them absolutely so much.
Absolutely love grenade launchers. Great addition. Although I will say I do miss heavy machine guns. Sorry, we had some technical difficulties there. And anyway, we're back. So power weapons.
Yeah. So they removed the heavy machine gun from, well, not from the game.
Right.
There is a heavy machine gun in the game. It is an exotic called Sweet Business. It is a kinetic weapon, and it is hilarious.
Yes.
It is one of my favorite guns in that game, because it has, like, a slow, like, it feels like a chain gun. It has that slow build up into a really high rate of fire and just throws ammunition downrange.
Yeah, and I've yet to get it, unfortunately.
But it's okay. Someday you will be a very happy person, but
I
not,
will, yeah.
Not this week. Which we'll get into later, but
yes.
there are loot woes in this game. Heavy weapons. They added the fusion rifle, the sniper rifle, the shotgun, and honestly, they could not have made a better choice about that.
Yes, yeah, I'm so glad that it's not just running around getting sniped, running around getting shotgunned every 2 seconds. I mean, even still, when it happens, I'm still like, God, I hate those guns. But it's not like before where it was just miserable.
Yeah, and like, that is one thing about Destiny 1's Crucible, is like, there was a meta. Mm-hmm. And that meta was sliding with shotguns.
Yep.
And then they decided, for some reason, Titans needed an arm piece that buffed them when they were using shotguns.
Yep.
But in any case, like, having them as power weapons, I'm a lot more willing to forgive shotguns in any sort of PvP setting.
Like, yeah, especially because of the way they handle heavy ammo now, right? Where they're like those small little pods, and you just get like a handful of shots, but you can get them throughout the game, as opposed to everybody racing to heavy ammo.
Mm-hmm. And only one person can get it at a time, so you're not dealing with a whole team of heavy ammo unless you really, really mess up on your placement. definitely has happened on a couple of occasions where it's just like, oh, I guess the entire team has heavy now. Whoops.
Yep.
But even then, like, at that point, you're just like, well, that sucks. Time to move on.
Mm-hmm.
So
Crucible so far, do you think you like it better with the four players and the changes they've made, or do you think you like Destiny 1's Crucible?
It's hard to say. Like, on one hand, a lot of the changes they made were really, really good. On the other, not having, or having two playlists that you don't have any control over the modes you're playing kind of sucks.
Yep. I'm with you on that.
Then having, like, it makes sense in some ways, but at the same time, it's like, I don't want to play like whatever game mode we're playing four times in a row. Just let me choose what I want to do. The four man, I kind of go back and forth on.
Yeah, part of me likes it because I think that having a smaller teams, there's a little more like tactics involved, but it kind of makes jumping into a match where you're playing with randoms a little bit worse.
Yeah.
Just because, like, if you end up playing a team that's working together, like, you're just getting screwed.
Yep.
But when you're playing with four people, it's a hell of a lot of fun. And it's a lot easier to get four people together than it is to get six.
Yeah.
So it kind
does,
of
it,
yeah.
You know, it does also make it harder though if you have five people,
yep,
to find something to do in the game, which yep, kind of sucks.
Yeah, it seems like, I mean, the biggest thing about Destiny 2 is it seems like they tried a lot of different things, like in general. They're like, hey, we're going to try some different things. And some things have been better and some things have not been better.
Like, they actually changed how some of the game modes work, like Control. Control is no longer hold points, or hold points, get points. It's now hold points, then kills you make while you're holding points will give you more points the more control points you hold.
Yep.
So hold one, you'll get 1 point per kill. Hold two, you get 2 points per kill. Hold three, you get 3 points per kill.
Yep.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't know if I mind it or not.
I don't like that specifically because it kind of... Control was always about dominating points to like, you know, holding a position and then attacking a position.
Yep.
Now it feels more like a scramble to capture as much as you can so it's easier for you to annihilate the enemy team.
Yep. Yeah. So you have advantage and then you can just kind of sit around and I don't know. I think I do like deathmatch a little bit more, or clash in this game, with four people.
Clash feels better with four people. I will admit that. Like, yeah, it's a smaller play field.
Again, that also comes into the fact that you're just not getting grenade killed and like shotgun killed 24/7.
That's exactly it. How much of that is because it's four people per team, and how much is that just because power weapons are a thing?
Yeah, like I'm sure at some point we will get a 6-on-6 multiplayer in that end mode, and that's really going to be the deciding, like, okay. Because right now, how much of it is, well, is because of the way they changed it or because it's 4-on-4? Yeah, I think it's kind of hard to tell.
Honestly, like, I will say I have a lot less problems with Crucible in Destiny 2 than I did in Destiny 1.
Yep.
I think
generally I would say I like it a little bit more, but I think it has most to do with just the lack of ability kills and shotgun kills, and just it's much more about primary kills, I guess. I think for me, that's what I generally that's what I like a little bit more. I don't know with the four people if I like that better or not, but I will say playing four people does kind of change the way you have to play some of these modes, like Supremacy with four people. I think the maps are too big.
In several cases.
Yeah.
Just in general. Like, they got some really nice, like, close quarters maps, and then they have a couple that do not make sense.
Not for four people. Like, Supremacy with four people, like, God, it just seems like the matches take forever. Like, so often I feel like the matches are going to the time limit. And, like, in Destiny 1, like, I never saw, I mean, you would see it, but it would be so rare that you would see a match that actually went to the time limit as opposed to the score limit. Whereas in this, it's kind of the opposite. I feel like a lot of the times I see things go to time rather than go to the score.
Oh, yeah. Like, and on one hand, that kind of, like, I'm okay with that. It means that it can either mean that things are balanced a lot better, or it's too hard to just do the objective.
Yeah.
Like, I know a couple of maps that I absolutely hate playing. The newest map they added was a kind of a come bring back from the first game. I want to say it was
Shores of Time.
Yeah, Shores of Time.
Yeah, which I loved in Destiny 1.
I loved in Destiny 1. I don't quite care for it in Destiny 2.
It's a little too big.
Yeah, it's a little too big.
It's a little too big. And see, that's the thing. Again, it's also with six people, what ends up happening is, like, people, like, you kind of know, like, there's certain zones, right? And you know, like, certain people are going to be in those zones. And so with four people, it ends up being like, I don't know. It just feels weird. Cause, like, that map specifically. So, like, if you are, I think it was like A, right? So you'd have A, which was like in the little cave. And then you'd have C, which is like in the other cave, but it's more in that open area. Like in that open area,
there was the cave entrance, and then there was the deep cave, and then there was the platform.
The platform, right? But so you'd have that space in between the, like B and C, and there's like that, like almost like a fallen pillar or something that like you'd always know that there'd be snipers back there.
Yeah.
But so now it's just like with only four people, it's kind of like I don't really know what's going on, because then there's like that tunnel right on the way to the B. If you're like sweeping around the far side, and like that was always like, okay, you can like, that's a great place to stick grenades and stuff like that. But now people don't push at it. So you're just getting different angles and stuff. And maybe I just haven't played it enough. Just feels,
I mean, weird. it's not even like just about different angles. That map is simply too large
for four people. Yeah.
For four people, like six people, it was, I won't say perfect, but it was a lot closer to optimal.
Yeah.
Like, this feels like they upgraded the graphics, because it definitely looks different.
Yeah.
Like, and they looks changed.
Better. Yeah.
It definitely looks better. But as for the actual map itself, it didn't feel like they rebuilt it with the idea of eight player
right.
Crucible matches in mind.
Yeah.
They were still rolling off of that 12 man game. And yeah, I think it really shows.
Yeah.
And the Emperor's, the map for the Cabal Emperor one or whatever. I don't remember what it's called, but one's
a newer one. Yeah.
That one's also like a map where I swear to God, the map maker was thinking 12 people.
Yep.
Because so it's huge.
You know what? What I really want them to do is just give us 12 people things, but make it three teams of four.
No.
I think
No.
Not for standard Crucible, but like if that was like a special event or something, I think that would be awesome.
Three-way battles sounds good until you're actually playing them.
I don't know, man. I think it's sweet.
No, dude, it is a different beast to actually play those sorts of games. Like, it works in small, and I'm talking like two-man teams, small. Like things, because then at least at that point you're all like, all right, I got me and my buddy and we're sticking together. Whereas when you get beyond like two, three people per team, you kind of get into the clusterfuck area.
Yeah.
Where as soon as all three sides hit, nobody knows what's going on anymore.
Yeah, it's just chaos. It's like mayhem.
And that's the thing. Mayhem was just, I mean, I'm talking about the game mode. Mayhem was essentially just, hey, here's your super fast recharge rate. Go have fun.
And heavy ammo immediately. And
whereas three factions fighting each other, four man each, sounds like a shitty time.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay, let's move on to loot, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, there are also a bunch of mechanics they kind of added. General quality of life stuff, like mounting things is pretty nice. Makes those long Hail Mary jumps a little easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was a great. That's like one of the biggest. It's like such a small little thing, but it drastically makes the game so much more enjoyable.
The ability to just go to another planet without having to go to orbit first is also super nice. Yep. That's just like there's a bunch of little quality of life things that make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
The one thing that I thought made sense until I really started kind of having to go through the grind is the way they've set up their loot system this time.
Mm-hmm.
I like it and I fucking hate it.
Yeah. I'll say this. I kind of, when Three of Coins came out, because before it was like the random, completely random, what guns you would get, right? Exotics.
Yeah.
And so that like kind of sucked because like, I don't know, it was kind of a hit or miss because like when you finally got something to drop, it was like, oh, thank God, I've been grinding for this forever and I got it.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, like people would go through the game without ever getting a gun. Right. Like, so people,
oh yeah.
Never got Icebreaker. Right. You never got
Icebreaker. Nope.
Yeah.
Never did.
I never got Gjallarhorn.
Yeah. Or at least until you could do the mission for it.
Right. Yeah. Well, I got it in year one. They sold it like the last weekend of the game or something before Taken King came out. Like, yeah. they sold Gjallarhorn. Xur did.
I never fucking got an Icebreaker. Not single one. Kills me.
So, and then Three of Coins came out. And then when Three of Coins came out, I was kind of like, okay, Like, I didn't know if I really liked it because then it was like, okay, now getting exotics is like too easy.
And so that got balanced though, and it became like it reached the middle ground where popping three of coins didn't mean you were guaranteed an exotic, but it meant you had a better chance of getting one, which was nice because you didn't have to spend hours and hours and hours grinding out strikes just to get something.
Right. The way they do it now, I think that you kind of just get them more often is a little bit better.
That's fine. That is not where I have my problem.
Oh, okay.
Like, so exotics dropping out of public events just randomly is absolutely wonderful. And I love it because it's like, now this field, we're getting more into like the Diablo 3, Diablo 2 territory of legendaries drop. Exotics drop. It doesn't matter. Like when you see them, you get excited because you're like, fuck yeah, I got an exotic. I wonder what it's going to be. This is going to be great. Whereas Destiny 1 was more of like, oh God, I finally got an exotic. Please God, let it be something I can use. No, fuck, it's another goddamn one of these.
Yeah.
And so having exotics drop out of public events is wonderful. My big problem with the Destiny system, the loot system in Destiny 2, actually comes from the vendors. So
where you're going.
The vendors, so the way they did Destiny 2's vendors is now whenever you complete an event, depending on what planet you're on or what current event is, like if you're playing Iron Banner or doing the new faction, faction hustle, whatever it's called, you get coins. And these are, you get a different coin for each planet and a different coin for each event. And then you can trade these into a vendor to get a legendary engram, which you can then open right then and there and get your fancy legendary goods. I thought I really, really liked this because it was like, oh, hey, you don't have to grind for gear as hard anymore. Now you're just doing coins and you get your gear. And now I'm kind of regretting thinking that because now I'm really fucking bored.
Yep.
It's gotten like there is a happy medium for loot grind games.
Yeah.
And there is. Like,
and the other thing I'll say is that, and this is something you just ran into during the Iron Banner, is that before you could like at least buy like one piece of gear or something from them.
Yeah.
Like you could buy like
And
you can buy a piece anymore. You have to have to rely on getting an RNG drop,
which is really, really great when my character seems to only get guns. And I'm not even joking. I traded in like a good 5-6 engrams to Saladin, and he only gave me guns, not a single piece of armor, not even like the shitty extra stuff. Yeah. Because there's essentially two tiers of armors or two tiers of gear that you can get from the vendors. You can get a piece from their selection, and each vendor has their own selection of special gear that you can get only from that vendor, and then, or you can get a piece of gear from a rotating list of stuff that every vendor has, which kind of just adds to the frustration. Like, it's really easy to get gear. It's not easy to get gear you want.
Yep. Yeah. Right there with you on that.
Like, as I was saying before, there is a happy medium for loot games, where you don't want a player to get really powerful gear super, super easy because then they have no inclination to keep playing. They don't care. They got their shit. They're gone. They're done. They're bored. Yeah. Too hard, and you kind of go into the opposite where they're bored not because they have everything. They're bored because they can't get anything because it's so hard. Like the Diablo 3 problem where their legendary items were so hard to get that when you finally got one, you were really, really excited until you realized they were absolutely worthless.
Yep.
And like people would spend literally just hours and hours and hours grinding for a single piece of gear. Fortunately, that's not a problem in Destiny 2. The problem is the former, where it's just too easy.
Yeah, like, I stopped playing
after Iron Banner because it's like, well, there's no event going on and there's no reason to keep playing until the next event happens. And even then, I'm not sure I'm going to play.
Yeah.
Destiny 2 is fun, but
it's a loot game first and foremost.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, again, you know, it's just they better be pushing that next expansion fast, because
right, like I said, it's a loot game.
There's not really a lot to do.
Exactly, and in fact, that is definitely the biggest issue with Destiny 2 is, once again, there is not enough to do. They definitely rolled things out correctly this time by, like, hey, this week we're going to have this going on. We're going to go ahead and go into the Nightfall in the next week. Then we're going to move on to the raid. Then we're going to move on to the faction rally. That's what it is, faction rally. Then we're going to move into Iron Banner. And then it was like, hey, this is how you should be rolling this out. And then we hit that point where it's like, oh, there's nothing else.
There's nothing else. Yep. No, I will say this about
we saw it coming.
One of the things that they did, and this is, as we've talked about this a lot, is that Bungie really, for some reason, they miss on like big, huge stuff. That's like, how did you miss that? But then they're just so good about all the small little details. Like as we said with Destiny 1, it just like quality of life progressively got better.
Oh yeah.
And like one of the things, like in this game, like we no longer have to like build our guns up to see how good they're going to be. Like you get right from the get-go, armor and guns are like, okay, they're set to go. Like,
and in this one, it progresses. The curve is a lot nicer for progression, because it's not like in Destiny 1, you hit like a limit for each expansion where it's like, oh, you're getting gear, and then you're not getting anything unless you're doing very specific events you could only do once a week, and then you'll get like an extra couple levels of light each time towards your ultimate goal of way the fuck higher. This didn't have that problem. I haven't hit maximum light, but I'm within spitting distance I have been since the second week.
Yep.
And there were people running around 400 light first week. And it's just, or 300 or whatever. I think it is 300. Yeah. It's like, but people were running around to that maximum light first week. It's like, why? Like the first grind was a lot worse, but it was a lot, I would say, better balanced for that level of loot. But like you were sure you had to do specific events each week to get that extra light levels. But you had to do those events. You had to go through it. Now you're just grinding shit out and keep getting handed the loot that you would otherwise have to work for.
Yep. And you know, another thing I want to talk about here, I thought I was going to like it better. I almost kind of liked the bounty system.
Yeah.
Because I was like, The way we have to do it now, where you have to like go into like the directory to see, is kind of annoying.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of annoying. On the plus side, it's all right there. Like, it's just, don't have to. I mean, it got a lot nicer in Destiny when you could pin bounties to your HUD and you can just pull out your ghost and see your bounties. But before that, you had to do the exact same thing.
Yeah. Well, the other thing,
only you had to go to the tower to get them, wherever, and then you had to go to the tower for a long time to turn them in.
Oh,
so I do like challenges slightly better than the original bounty system.
Well, one of the things I liked about the bounties, and I guess this isn't necessarily the bounties, it was kind of part of it, was you could see your reputation with that group or whatever. So now it's just like, well, I have 10 coins. I hope that's enough.
That was added in a revision of the bounty page, though.
Yeah,
like that was an addition. That was a quality of life addition. But that does touch on another thing: is that a lot of the quality of life additions for HUD management and faction management and all that other wonderful stuff are absolutely missing.
Yep. I mean, it's just like
they don't really matter.
Yeah.
There is no leveling the faction, but at the same time, it's like, it doesn't, it feels like some semblance of information is missing.
Yeah.
I mean, you do level up your faction in order to get a loot or engram. But that doesn't really feel like it's that important.
Right, because at least like in Taken King, when they added the exotic, or was it Taken King when they added this in? I think it was. Yeah, Taken King when they added the exotic like faction gear that you had to like, oh, you got to hit this.
Oh ring. Yeah, you had to like
hit that. Like it gave you a reason to do it, and it was kind of bragging rights. Like I think I finished Destiny 1 with like over 200, engram rank. Like it was like insane. Wait. Yeah.
I mean, it feels like it's missing. It's not actually missing. That's the
thing. We just don't know what it is.
It feels like something important should go somewhere important.
Yeah.
It's just there is a void somewhere in Destiny 2 in like the general gameplay mechanics that is desperately needing to be filled, and I have no fucking clue what it is. Yeah. And it's really frustrating.
You're right. Something's missing, and I don't know what it is.
I think it really is just overall like progression.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't feel like you are progressing in Destiny 2 so much as you're just being handed shit.
Because even something like that, like, did it matter that my Vanguard rank or my whatever rank was, my Engram rank was like over 200? No, but it was just like you constantly felt like you're like, oh, well, I'm really close to getting my next piece of gear. Like whether you're probably going to get rid of it, but it was just like that subtle reminder that you're close. It's like, well, I might as well finish, right?
Yeah.
So you keep playing. I can't think of the word, but it's like the instant gratification type of a thing, right? Like it's just like, yeah, it's like, oh, well, I might, well, okay, I gotta hit the next rank, gotta do this, gotta do that, and that's gone.
Maybe it's not instant gratification, it's the lack of instant gratification. It is like you have to work, like, you know, in this game it's all about instant gratification, and then it becomes a more hollow experience because of that. Because this one, it isn't like, oh, I need to do this, I need to do this, I need to do this. It's like, I'm just going to go to Titan and grind for a while, and then maybe I'll get a helmet I want. Nope, I just got 17 fucking guns. I'm just done for Destiny with Destiny 2 for today. I'm done. And it's just, I don't know. I really like playing Destiny 2. I do not like to play Destiny 2.
Yeah.
I think that's what it really comes down to, is like, and the game feels really good to play. It doesn't reward you for playing it.
Yeah, and the thing is like, man, there's so many things that they've done so well. Like I'm just thinking like strikes, or not strikes, but public events. Like patrols are fun now. Like you see people running around. Like, oh, I could just jump from here to there, and like getting the heroic strike or the heroic public event to like trigger and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, wow, patrols are actually fun to play now. There's only a handful of strikes, which they're okay. I mean, I'm not like, I don't really like love them or anything, but I like that some of them have like little like mini raid mechanics.
There are a lot of general, really neat touches.
You're right. It's like, it's a good game. I like it. But I just don't feel compelled to. Like, I spent over 1,000 hours in Destiny 1.
Oh, yeah. Destiny 1 consumed my time.
Destiny 1 consumed literally a summer of my life. I mean, I was playing, as Ezra and I talked about in our Destiny 1 review, it was like literally there was a summer where I was playing Destiny. Like, it was like I was in college, and I was literally just I was playing Destiny, working out, lost a ton of weight, and I played Destiny for like 8 hours every day. And now I'm like, okay, I play Destiny like once a week.
Yeah. Like I literally haven't touched it since Iron Banner, because I'm just like, I'm done.
Yeah, and I know part of it is maybe it's just because I'm like, oh, I'm a little bit busier now, you know, I'm like, I got a like full-time job and stuff like that, but at the same time, I'm just like, I just don't really feel compelled to play it.
Like I'm less busy than when Destiny 1 came out, and I don't care.
Yeah. Like I actually jumped into Crucible for a bit before we started playing this, and I was like, Yeah,
I mean, like, it just absolutely feels good. It feels like they paid attention to every little detail of playing the game, like running around, jumping, shooting, all that feels
And even other stuff too, like the way they've done clans now are a lot better.
The addition of clan systems and the way they've implemented it feels really smart. Like they have a system where essentially every completion of an activity gets you clan experience, and that clan experience goes towards your character, like towards your clan. That levels up your clan for each season, which I guess they're now kind of getting into what an actual season is.
Right.
Which I guess each season will have different gear from different vendors. So if you missed out on the Hun gear for Iron Banner, get it the next time it comes around. Otherwise, you won't be able to get it again. Thanks, Bungie.
Yep.
But like you get experience towards upgrading your clan banner, which will give you different kind of perks for being in that clan. So like you'll get glimmer every time you get bonus glimmer every time you get an engram, or you'll get, you know, better engrams or so on and so forth as you level up. And then everybody contributes to this. But on top of that, you get basic rewards for completing certain milestones every week. So like you'll get, if you max out your character's contributions to the guild rank, so you'd only get a certain amount of XP each week for your guild. But if you hit that, you get an engram. If you complete a strike with the fire team consisting of your clan mates, you get another engram. If you complete a couple Crucible games with half the team being your clan mates, you get an engram. So they're just handing you all sorts of rewards for being the clan and actively participating with your clan mates, which is great. That's really smart.
It's a great way to do it, yeah.
Yeah, if the game didn't already hand you loot at every turn, I would be absolutely in love with that system.
Oh, for sure.
But like there's just on a like everything new they threw at that game in big scope terms, like the way they played out the story itself, the way they're handling loot, the way they're handling Crucible. Everything feels like a miss.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Yeah, like, I don't know. It's just, it's weird.
Like it seems like one of those things where it sounded a lot better on paper than it has been in practice.
Yeah. And it's a good game. Like, it's not like it's bad. It's just, I don't know. Destiny 1, like, I never... I mean, I felt like it took me till year 3. I think it was just because Rise of Iron was just like
the Rise of Iron.
There just wasn't like a lot of cutting content. Room floor. And I'd also been playing for like 3 years, and I think I finally hit a wall, and I was like, okay, I think I'm good on Destiny. But Destiny 2, like, I mean, it was like every expansion of Destiny 1. Like, even if I like going into Taking King, okay, I stopped playing for like a couple weeks, Taken King came out, boom. I mean, I hit it hard. And then we got like an update, boom, I'd hit it hard for like months. This, I'm nah, I'm good.
Like it is. And it's just one of those situations.
Yeah. There's so much stuff that it's just like in Destiny 1, I think this is what I'm thinking now is like, so you had the faction rep and then you had the Grimoire. There were just constant reminders of like you progressing in like everything.
Oh yeah.
Like it was just like, oh, I want to get my Varus rank up so I can get that gear. Even if it's gear you don't like. And it was just, there were so many different vendors all over the place that you were like constantly ranking up all these people.
But that's the thing. We were constantly kind of progress. There was a constant feeling of progression. There was a constant like forward momentum. Whereas Destiny 2 was like a forward glide. Once you start sliding, you don't stop sliding, but it doesn't feel like you're working at anything. You are just coasting along until you hit in any sort of artificial wall, which is more like an artificial speed bump because you just go over it and then you're right back at the same pace. Like,
yeah.
A lot of people complain that like, oh, I've stopped finding, I think it was like at 265, I've stopped finding gear for that would get me to the next level until I find that one piece that brings them above like 268 or something like that, and then they're right back on the glide.
Yep.
And it's just, it's so disappointing.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not saying like disappointing from like a step back, Bungie, this game is disappointing. I'm like, it's a disappointing feeling to get to the end of the game so quickly and not feel like you've done anything.
Yep. So okay. So do you think vanilla Destiny 2 is better than vanilla Destiny 1?
God, no.
Okay.
For all of the shit I will give Destiny 1 vanilla, the terrible, frustrating grind, the absolute, like, the storyline was great. Like, it wasn't a coherent storyline, but it was a storyline to get you involved in a larger world. The grind, while frustrating and absolutely brutal, and was definitely that latter type of grind, like that, you know, loot, too little loot. That, while that wasn't good, like that was a bad thing, the game was fun enough that you still wanted to keep playing it and grind for that loot.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was fun. The game was immensely entertaining to play. And you, like, when you were actually in the thick of it in a strike or any, like, you know, playing Crucible during, when you weren't getting absolutely shotgun run into the ground, you felt like a badass. Like you're running around throwing fire, like Nova bombs and shooting golden guns, throwing up Titan bubbles, because why not? Everybody loves a Titan bubble.
Oh, but I thought, I loved doing it in Crucible. I thought it was hilarious.
It felt good to play. And so the grind wasn't so much, it was a frustrating grind. Like the loot cave was a thing in multiple situations, like, which was hilarious, but you didn't mind it. Like, it was a pain, and it took hours of your life, but you were willing to give those hours of your life. I'm not willing to give hours of my life to Destiny 2 any more than I already have.
Yeah. At least not right now.
No.
So do you think, though, that Destiny 2, moving forward, to the changes that they've made, moving forward, do you think it's going to progress well over time, or do you think it's just going to keep falling flat?
That's a difficult question. Like, we had Destiny 1 where Destiny 1's, like I said, when the game first came out, absolute fucking grind, but it was fun to play.
Right.
They changed so much. Like, Destiny 1 at the end of year 3 is a different beast from Destiny 1 at the beginning of year 1.
Yeah,
it is. I mean, like, completely changed.
Exist. We only had.
Well, not even like gear. I'm talking like just like in general stuff, like the way gear drops.
You didn't have to go back to the tower.
You didn't have to go to the tower.
Subclass. You had.
Yeah, like there was like just everything about it. Quality of life changed and changed for the better. Yeah. Where Destiny 2, I would say, is a game where they took the kind of like way quality of life was going in Destiny 1 and took that to an illogical extreme.
Yeah.
And I think they can come back from that, and I think they are capable of coming back from that. Will they? I mean, I'm not a fortune teller. I don't honestly know.
When's the next expansion?
I don't think, like, I think the next expansion, I think they were saying season 3.
Okay.
They were saying season 2 starts supposedly in December.
Okay.
I guess that's what they were saying.
Hopefully they at least just give us one of those like content updates.
Yeah, you know, that would be nice.
We need something with the update.
Like, yeah.
So okay.
But I mean, now
so should we finish with the PC version?
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about the PC. Actually, before we get to the PC version, let's talk a bit about some of the controversies of Destiny 2. Because there has definitely been some, there's been a very silly, in my opinion, uproar in regards to a very specific aspect of Destiny 2.
And that is?
Shaders.
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about shaders. Okay, so I'm going to take the lead on this one, Thomas, because I'm kind of like your expert. So in Destiny 1, whenever we were all, you know, all getting ready to go to a raid or something, hey, where's Matt at? Run down. I'm at the shader booth. All right. I'm all about the shaders.
Oh, yeah.
I will say this. So now shaders are single use. You kind of have to like build inventories of them. But the advantage is that you can put them on like individual pieces of gear.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say this. I actually don't mind it. I thought I was going to hate it. I actually kind of – I like that we can at least put them on gear now.
Yep. This is individual items, weapons, arrows, ships.
This is something I actually like because this would give me a reason to play, right? This is like one of the things we – like, hey, I can grind out shaders – so I have them and stuff like that. But
or at least you would if most of the fun shaders weren't part of Eververse.
There we go. Yep. I'll let you talk about that.
So the big thing about the shaders is, first off, they're single use. And a lot of people were really angry about that because shaders in Destiny 1 were an item that you just applied to the entire character. It was essentially like equipping a color to your armor.
Right.
It only affected your armor. But you had it, and once you had it, you never lost it. So I can understand why some people are upset about the whole single-use thing. I personally don't mind it. I definitely found it kind of annoying at times where I'm like, well, I'd like to color all my gear this one color, but I only have one of this shader right now, so I gotta wait. Right. I think the biggest issue is that all of the really fun shaders, all the really neat ones, are locked behind Eververse. And Eververse, for anyone who isn't super familiar with Destiny 1, was their microtransaction stuff. And there were ways, like later on, there were ways to earn them in game. So every week you'd get one for playing a match of Crucible or doing a strike, or heroic strike, that is. And then there were specific events like the Christmas or the holiday event or the Christmas holiday event, the Halloween event, and a couple other ones where you could earn them by doing specific like tasks. Other than that, you had to buy them. But the thing about that is like there weren't often shaders in those. I mean, there were, but there weren't a lot. And they were usually themed towards whatever that particular event or box was. And that would be alongside a set of armor sometimes, usually sparrows, a couple ships. It was really just entirely aesthetic, and it didn't really matter because you always, like, once you got one of them, you had it. You didn't have to worry about getting more. Destiny 2, with shaders being single use and most of them being behind Eververse, which, once again, is their microtransaction system, you can kind of get the picture as to why a bunch of people might not be super pleased.
Yeah.
Now, to be fair, the loot boxes are pretty easy to get. You get them every so once you hit level 20, you stop gaining normal experience. Instead, you start building up to your next Eververse loot box. And every week you get 3 times experience to your first 3 of those. So you could theoretically earn a ton of them, like as many as you wanted in that single week period. That being said, I mean, there's already been kind of a lot more attention, negative attention, brought towards loot boxes in general and how they really definitely do kind of prey on people who are weak to gambling.
Right.
Because they are effectively a system of gambling. You open that and you get a random set of items from a list of items, and it may not be the one you want. So you kind of go back to get more and more and so on and so forth. Personally, I don't have too much of a problem with them, but I can definitely see why people do. And I don't know. I mean, I think I'd be a lot more okay with it if there were a lot more shaders available for doing other things. Like, you get some really cool shaders from the raid, and you got your fancy Iron Banner shaders from Iron Banner and your faction shaders from the faction rally. And that was all well and good. That was doing it right. But in general, when you're not going through one of those events, you're going through Eververse for something interesting.
Yeah.
Like there's no fancy shader for the Vanguard. There's no, well, there is, but you get it through Eververse. There is a Crucible shader that you can get through Crucible. But if you want to get any of the fancy gun shaders like Haki, Amalon, any of the gun manufacturers, you got to go through Eververse. If you want to get any of the really fun colors like Watermelon, which is essentially green with like a red, a pearlescent red to it, you got to go through Eververse. Like, it feels, I mean, the way they, one of the Blizzard or the Activision execs were talking about it. It's like, they wanted to make shaders something where you could go, hey, look, I want to run through the raid because I really like the shader and I like to build a few more of those up, building up inventory. Thing is, that isn't the case for a lot of them.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I think, the biggest issue people are having. It's like, there are no way to build up some of these more interesting ones. There's no way to get a hands on them unless you're going through Eververse. And that means either grinding out Eververse XP for your next Eververse loot box or spending the like $5 to get a bunch of them.
Right, for the silver.
Yeah. And that definitely leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
But silver has been a problem in Destiny like since it's come about, because silver should just be, this is what I want, and I should just be able to buy it.
Oh, that's the case for any microtransaction stuff.
So dumb.
It's that fake currency stuff all over again, and that shit's still happening, and it really sucks that it's still happening. But it's been such a hit or miss kind of deal for a lot of publishers who get that stuff into games, that I can understand why it's continued to make an appearance, including in Destiny. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And in the case of silver in Destiny 1, they made a pledge that all the silver spent would go back into making free event stuff. And they made good on that promise more than a few times.
Right.
Like, we had the Valentine's Day event, which was pretty great. The holiday events like Halloween, Christmas got better and better every year. The Sparrow Racing League, which was easily one of my favorite parts of Destiny 1, mm-hmm. was kind of great. Built off that silver purchases. So they have a track record of doing good things with it, but we don't know how the silver is being spent in Destiny 2. And we don't know, and we know the loot box system, system feels a lot more predatory because of the shaders being one use only. And it seems like you're going to get shaders and you're going to get weapon modifications more often than you're going to get things like emotes, or you're going to get things like ships or sparrows. And so it kind of makes a feeling of these are the booby prizes. And if you want to get the good stuff, you're going to have to pay.
Yep. Which is unfortunate.
It is. So
all right, let's move on to PC. Destiny on the
yes.
PC.
So
I have not played it on PC, although I do think my computer could run it decently. But Thomas, probably, who just bought a GTX 1080, should be able to run it pretty damn good.
Yes, I can. If I had another 8 gigs of RAM, I think I'd be perfect. But Destiny 2 for PC has been optimized to the nines for PC, and it feels really good to play. So the biggest differences between Destiny on the consoles and Destiny on PC is PC runs at 60 frames a second. It's not locked to 30 like the consoles. It lets you play in ultra 4K HD and all the little fancy bells and whistles for controlling. No VR. And I'm pretty happy about that, because that would be an absolute Technicolor dream fest. It would be awful. You do not want to play Destiny 2 in VR.
Like, a seizure.
Not a seizure. It would be have all of the motion sickness in the world.
Yeah.
Like, that game is really fast paced, and there are plenty of situations where control of your camera is pulled away from you. So when you're getting on things, you're zooming in and zooming out really quickly, or when you're it would not work. Okay. That being said, every little part of customization you'd expect for a PC game, things like field of view or various selections for your graphical settings, they're all there. This is not, this doesn't feel like a port of a console game. This feels like this game, they took this game and they're like, okay, how are we going to make this play on PC the best it possibly can? And it feels great. Playing Destiny 2, I have, even before I upgraded to the 1080, I played the beta on a 770 GTS. So this was, several generations old card, not mid-range card too, not top of the line. And the game played butter smooth.
and it looked really good. Like, it didn't look the best it could, but honestly, it looked Destiny 1 easy.
Yeah.
Like, it looked good. It played absolutely wonderfully. Like, that game was made for... It felt like it was made for PC. Yeah. Like, it was everything I wanted in a PC first-person shooter was right there. Like, I think your PC could probably handle it pretty easily. Like I said, it's been super optimized for PC.
Yeah.
Like, they went in and made sure that sucker runs with very little memory issues. So I've played a little bit of Crucible, and for the most part, the netcode is pretty reliable. Like, it feels like everything is updating properly. You don't feel like there's a lot of cheap hits.
Right.
There's not a lot of lag. But keep in mind, with the way they're doing, since they're running it off of BattleNet anymore, but
yeah,
they're running it off of Blizzard's networking services.
Yeah,
it's your multiplayer. It is BattleNet, but not officially anymore. It's now Blizzard.
Yeah, it's not my Blizzard app. Okay, I still call it BattleNet.
So do I. But that's more of habit than anything else. In any case, the reason why I think it's running as smoothly as it does is because Blizzard likes to lock things off by region. So if you're playing in the Americas region, you're not going to be playing with European players unless they are specifically choosing the American region at the beginning of the game, like before the game starts. So you're getting a lot, I would say, a lot more exclusive access, like connections. So I'm typically, if I play Crucible on PC, I'm not going to be playing with a bunch of people from Asia or people from Europe or people from South America. Like, I'm only going to be playing with people from North America unless I change which region I'm going to be part of. And that definitely comes with its downsides, along with the benefits of easier, like faster speeds and better connections. You don't have as many people to play with. So, like, if you're playing late at night and nobody's there to fill the gaps in your fire team, you're going to be waiting a lot longer to get into a strike or waiting a lot longer to get into a Crucible match. Like, last night I was playing pretty late. So it was like 2-3 in the morning. And I jumped,
West Coast time too. So
I'm West Coast time, and I jumped in the Crucible, and I was waiting for a good couple minutes before I even got any Guardians matched to me.
Wow.
And it's just one of those things where it's like, because you have a smaller pool of players you're able to play from, if there's nobody on, you're not going to then get connected to people further out from you. You're just going to be waiting for somebody else to show up. So.
Yeah. Well, that's disappointing.
Yeah. But when you are connected, everything's wonderful.
You're going to say that the PC version's the way you should play.
Yeah. No, most definitely. Like I do like, I mean, I played it on PS4, played the first 4 weeks of it and played through all the little bonus content, and I'm done there. Playing on the PC kind of revitalized my interest in playing Destiny 2. Because it runs quick, smooth. It's fun to play. It feels really natural. That being said, like, as we said earlier, Destiny is a game that is incredibly fun to play, but it's not great to play.
Right.
Like, playing the game feels wonderful. The game is not fun to play.
Do you think I would enjoy it more playing on PC, even if I was still using a PS4 controller?
No.
Okay.
Reason being is...
Well,
that's kind of the thing. If you're playing a first-person shooter with a controller, there are some people that can play really, really well with controllers, but for the most part, you're going to be losing out on speed and accuracy.
Right.
Every second.
Okay, I'm just saying, is the 60 frames a second and the like better visuals and graphics, like if I was just playing as like strictly a PvE character, because I don't.
You're fine. Whatever. Then it's whatever. Like,
yeah. But do you think it would be worth it's that the better graphics and the the addition of 30 FPS is worth buying it again for PC?
Buying it again is, if you're a fan of Destiny, I would say buy it. If you're coming into the game for the first time and you have a decent PC or a modern PC, buy it on the PC. If you're a casual player and you enjoy playing on the PS4 and you have a nice PC and you're considering it, I would hold off until there's more content. Okay. And then once you, if you have the expansion pack, wait for the two expansions to come out. And if you don't, then wait for the first expansion to come out and then make your decision.
Okay.
Like, if you're on the fence, wait for the expansion content to come out, see what changes happen, see if the game is worth getting back into once you hit that period of that lull period. I mean, it's definitely there. I mean, the only reason to go back to play for me would be to play Crucible. Yeah. And while Crucible's fun, like I have my own problems with it in general, as we've discussed earlier, that make me kind of wary about playing Crucible. But that, like, all that stuff aside, if you love Destiny, if you enjoy the hell out of Destiny and you have a PC that can run it, you're doing yourself a disservice by not playing it on the PC.
Okay, I guess I'm gonna have to check it out on PC then.
But yeah, like I said though, if you're on the fence, wait for the first expansion.
Okay. All right. Well, let's wrap this up. Thomas, what's your final thoughts here on Destiny 2 so far?
My final thoughts are, I'm really happy with a lot of the gameplay changes. Like, that game feels like they took what was great about Destiny 1 and they were just like, what can we do to make this better? And then they did it. And that's the only thing I can really say about it. And it really disappoints me that that's the case.
Yeah.
Like, the game is amazingly fun when you're actually playing the game and you're running around, you're shooting, and you're doing all the cool stuff that Destiny lets you do. But then there's no reason to continue doing that stuff, and that is really just sad. I think, honestly, if you are on the fence about getting Destiny 2, wait for expansion 1, wait for expansion 2, see what those add, what they change, because Bungie, like we said earlier, I mean, Destiny 1 changed dramatically across 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, Bungie's good about listening to its player base.
I mean, I feel like the difference of, like, people who came into Destiny, so I came in House of Wolves, and the difference between House of Wolves and Taken King were, like, night and day.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
So, I mean, and that, Bungie is really good about listening to their players, and so I have a feeling we're going to see a lot of changes based on player feedback within the next 6 months.
Yep.
But the game is going to be around for a while. Destiny 1 was. Destiny 2 will be around for a while as well.
Probably 3 years.
Probably about 3 years, most likely, and their seasonal content, it sounds like it's a pledge to kind of update content as time goes on, so there'll always be new stuff.
Yeah, I don't expect Destiny 3 to be coming out until the PS5 is coming out.
Either way, Destiny 2 is going to be around a while, so it does not hurt to wait.
Yep.
And if you are on the fence, wait. If you're a fan of Destiny 2, have a PC that can run it, buy it for PC. Just expect to have the Destiny 1 problem of, once you hit the end of the content, there's not a lot of reason to play. Hopefully that changes. I'd love to see it change because I really like Destiny 1 and I really like where they were going with Destiny 2. That being said, story's weak. Not a lot of content. Hopefully there's more.
Yep. Here's my closing thoughts. I loved Destiny 1. The amount of hours I put into that game were great, and it was a great ride almost the entire way throughout. And then towards the end, I think I just kind of fell off a little bit because I'd been playing it for, like, you know, 2 years straight. I do not love Destiny 2 yet. It's good, but not great.
Like, you want to love it, but there's
I do
too many issues with it.
Yeah. I do. It's kind of like when you're dating someone and then you break up and then you start dating somebody else and you're like, oh, okay, I kind of like this. I like this about you, but I don't like that about you. Maybe I should go back to the other girl. It's kind of like that. The story again is good. It's not great. It's presented better. Hopefully, that's the path we continue to go down. There's better set pieces in this, in strikes and in the missions, which were cool of the story. Yep. Hopefully we get more cutscenes. Let's tell us what the hell's going on with the Traveler and make it like seem cool and interesting.
You did all this wonderful stuff with the Traveler in this one. You made it a central point, but we still have no fucking clue what the hell its relevant is beyond. It was really cool. And it made Guardians.
Yep. The Crucible, again, it's kind of a wait and see, really. Some of the things I like that better. Some of the things I don't like that better. Four people. Sometimes I think it's cooler. Sometimes I don't. I do like that it's much more about guns as opposed to abilities. I do actually like the thing I like the most about this game, I would say, is probably how they did the weapon types. Primary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but essentially you can have two primaries is the way I view it. I know there's like kinetic and energy, but whatever. To me, it's like I can run two auto rifles and I can run two different types of auto rifles or two different types of handguns or whatever, which is cool. And then power weapons is like, okay, I can use a rocket launcher, I can use a shotgun, whatever. That's, to me, in terms of gameplay, that's the best thing they did. Just kind of like we're saying, content-wise, is kind of a downer. And the problem is that content and loot are like the driving force of the game. And so when that's kind of down, it kind of brings the whole experience down.
Yep.
So right now, I would give Destiny 2... I've had to give it a score, I'd say like a 7.5.
Yeah. I mean, it's a competent game.
Yeah.
It has an issue of kind of balancing.
It doesn't know what it wants to be.
Oh, it knows exactly what it wants to be. It has no idea how to get there.
Yeah.
It is lost in the woods.
Yeah. So
Knowing Bungie, they'll be able to get it there. It'll take some time.
Yeah, I mean, Halo 1, amazing. Halo 2, I thought the story was good. I did not like what they did with multiplayer. And then Halo 3 was amazing. But we had to get through Halo 2 to get Halo 3.
Exactly. So Destiny 3, folks, going to be a winner. Yeah. Just you wait.
So, all right. Well, that is our show for this week. As always, thanks for listening.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.